We find the text for our study this evening in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, where Peter gives an instruction to elders. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be reading the first four verses, and we'll be looking at this passage tonight as we study a shepherd's example. 1 to you from the New American Standard Version, Paul says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that's to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." You'll notice in this text there are three opposites that appear in Peter's instruction. They are illustrations for what he is saying. This is one of the most easily understood methods of teaching, to give as an illustration a bad thing which one is not to do, and then immediately to turn and to give the good thing that in its place one should strive to do. For example, not this, but that. Don't do this, but do that. Not this, but that. It's a very simple, very easy to understand way of teaching, and it's very clear. Peter gives three opposites. First of all, Peter says one serves as an elder, as a shepherd, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. Under compulsion means not being forced into it, not doing it because nobody else will do it, not doing it because I've been just bothered with it, and so finally I'm going to give in. Peter says that's not the reason why one would serve as a shepherd. It's not to be under compulsion, but it is to be voluntarily done. It's not something that one does because he simply has no choice. It's something that one desires to do. One of the qualifications that we read this morning is that one should desire the office of elder. Paul says he desires a good work. And so serving as a shepherd is not to be done out of compulsion, but is to be done voluntarily. Secondly, he says, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Now the word sordid there is very important. It's a word that we probably don't use very much in our daily conversations with one another. I believe the King James translation of this is not for filthy lucre. And for that, we kind of conjure up the idea of money. Not doing something from the sense of gaining something selfishly. It needs to be understood that there is great gain in serving God in any respective role that we may have. There is much to be gained as or in serving as a shepherd over the flock of God. There is maturity that is to be gained from that process. Elders are not appointed full grown. No one is perfect. There is no such thing as one who reaches a level of perfection and therefore we need for him to serve as an elder. That's not really how it works. The eldership should not be seen as a proving ground or a trial period to see if one can really measure up, but the idea that a person has to be absolutely perfect in order to serve as an elder would, well, it would pretty much exclude every single person who'd ever lived on this earth, because there are no perfect people. There is great maturity, there is great growth and development that will be gained in the course of serving as an elder in the Lord's church. There are many character traits and qualities that will be improved upon, that will be honed and sharpened in the exercise of those things that need to be done in the work of an elder. There's a lot of respect that can be gained by one serving as an elder of the Lord's church. But what Peter is referring to here is selfish gain. One should never serve for the purpose of any kind of selfish gain. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? That should never be our motive for doing anything for the Lord's cause, and certainly it should never be a motive for anyone serving as a shepherd over God's people. But Peter says it's to be done with eagerness. Now let's make sure we understand that. Eagerness. This is not the kind of eagerness that says, oh boy, I can't wait to be an elder. There's some folks I've been wanting to tell some things to for a long time, and that'll give me the opportunity. It's not that kind of eagerness. It's not the kind of eagerness that says, you know, it's high time I received a little recognition around this place. Now I can be an elder. That's not the kind of eagerness that it's referring to here. I believe the eagerness here in this verse is close akin to the boldness and confidence that the writer of Hebrews says that we can approach the throne of grace with. Something that we do joyfully, something that we do desiring to do it because it is the thing that brings about God's will. It is the kind of thing that God blesses. Therefore, we're anxious to do what we can do. Not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. And then Peter says, not as lording it over, but proving to be examples. Proving oneself to be an example, or providing an example to follow, is the opposite here of lording it over the flock. I don't know about you, but I don't think that I can conjure up in my mind very many things that would be any more disagreeable to the concept of a person serving as an elder in the Lord's church for the right reason than to picture someone who is anxious for an opportunity to lord it over someone. An opportunity to throw their weight around. An opportunity to stand up and stomp his foot and demand that people listen. That's not the spirit of the elder of the Lord's church. Rather, Peter says it's a matter of living in such a way and conducting this work in such a way that it will give the right example for others to follow. An elder is not a boss, but he must lead the way for others to follow. Instead of standing off and giving strict orders and demanding that people snap to attention and follow his every wish, he must set an example and then beckon for others to follow. It's interesting that scriptures portray the way that elders are to lead as shepherds, not as cowboys. I love cowboys. Always wanted to be a cowboy. Till I got me some cows, and then I got enough of being a cowboy. But, you know, the only way to get cows to do and go where you want them to is to get behind them and frighten them enough and make enough noise and drive them so that they have no choice but to go into whatever you're trying to put them in. It's totally the opposite with sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. Shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. He goes before and he leads and they follow him. It's interesting that Jesus, whom Peter calls the chief shepherd, describes this very same trait in himself in John chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The voice of the shepherd never leads in a way that the shepherd himself does not trod into first. That's the depiction of the shepherd of God's people. This morning we noted Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It addresses the very same point. It says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Imitate. Follow their example. What are some of the ways that an elder needs to be an example to the flock? I want to suggest four or five things this evening for the rest of our time. Number one, let me suggest that an elder should be a good example of fatherhood. Fatherhood. An elder should have the full respect of his children, and they should be subject to his rule in the home. They should be an illustration of his ability to teach and to guide in the way of morality and goodness. One of the specific qualities enjoined by Scripture in Titus chapter 1, verse 6, is that an elder be one having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Now the question always arises at this point, well then do all of his children have to be members of the church? Well, the fact is the Scriptures don't plainly answer that question, and so it has to be decided by every person individually. I appreciate the late brother Bobby Duncan and the answer that he gave when he was approached with that question. In fact, Brother Duncan was given a hypothetical situation, kind of like when Jesus was approached by the leaders of the Jews and said a man or a woman had seven different husbands, which one, whose wife was she going to be in heaven? To Brother Duncan, they said, there was this fellow who had seven children. Now, two of those children were members of the Lord's church, but the other five of them lived in total disregard for spiritual matters. And so they said, Brother Duncan, would that man be qualified to serve as an elder because he's got believing children? Brother Duncan said, you know, I don't take the position that a person is not qualified if every one of his children is not a faithful Christian. But he says, I do believe that the record should show more success than failure in raising his children. An elder needs to be a good example of fatherhood. He needs to be that kind of an example to lead Christian fathers in the right kind of conduct toward their children, toward their household. Secondly, a shepherd should be a good example as a husband. As a husband. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. One who does not follow that instruction, a husband who does not have that kind of regard for his wife, certainly shouldn't serve as an elder. He's not setting a good example. He's not following the instruction of Scripture. A man who is not the head of his house, or a man whose wife is not in subjection to him, whose wife perhaps does not reflect Christian traits or values, certainly could never prove to be a good example to the world, much less the church, as long as that describes his family situation. By the examples of love and patience and kindness and wisdom and good judgment, he's able to get and to hold on to the proper kind of respect and devotion that he should have from a good wife. Proof by experience makes it possible for the church to determine whether or not a man is a good example as a husband even before he's appointed to the eldership. It's important that we understand that no man should be selected and appointed to the eldership with the notion that after becoming an elder, he certainly ought to be able to bring his wife into line. By the same token, you wouldn't select a man and appoint him to the eldership with the idea, well, you know, he's going to improve, he's going to get rid of some of those old bad habits, and he's going to turn out to be a good husband. Let's go ahead and make him an elder. Well, you say that's foolish. Certainly it is. We're talking about an example. An example that should be set for the church to follow. That's the kind of an example that we should look for from a good husband. Number three, a shepherd should be a good example of faithfulness to the church. I am sorry to say that I have known of more than one situation where elders of a particular congregation and even their family members rarely attended Wednesday night Bible study services. Now, as you could imagine, it would really be difficult at best to persuade the members of that particular church that faithful attendance to all of the services of the church are of premium importance. You try to tell me it's important for me to be here on Wednesday night. Brother so-and-so's an elder and he doesn't even come. What are you going to say to that? Every elder. Let's go this far. Every elder ought to attend every service of the church. I hope you don't think that sounds radical. I hope you don't think that sounds unreasonable. We're talking about the kind of an example that should be followed by the members of the Lord's church. There are several reasons why elders ought to be present at every service. I understand that this is not a problem that we have here in this congregation, and I hope you don't think I'm implying that, but these are important points that need to be made in order to understand the whole as we consider how important an example is in every aspect of an elder's conduct in life. Elders need to be there at our worship assemblies to take their place in the oversight and the guarding of the flock against error. Elders need to be there in order to learn and grow themselves from the experience of worshiping God and studying God's Word with those of like precious faith. I know there are some people who believe that an elder already knows everything he ought to know, but, you know, when we made him an elder, that means he's as smart as he's ever going to get. That's not true. There never comes a time in our lives, as long as we live and are holding on to our mental faculties, there never comes a time in our lives when we stop learning. There never comes a time when we need to lay aside God's Word and say, you know, I've got all of it out of there I'm going to get. That day will never come as long as we live. An elder needs to be there to serve as a good example of faithfulness. Not only faithfulness in attendance, and of course worship service attendance is just one aspect of Christian faithfulness, though it perhaps is near the top of the list of those that are most noticeable and the most public. An elder must obviously be an example of faithfulness to the truth of God's Word. He must hold it in high esteem, respecting it and allowing it to provide the answers. An elder must be faithful. He must show an example of faithfulness in working for the church. Now, I've seen congregations where around there nobody did any work but the elders. They did everything. I have seen some situations where the elders didn't do anything and everybody else always did all the work. Now, neither of those extremes is healthy for a congregation of God's people. But elders need to be hard workers. They need to set an example of working hard, but they also need to carefully outline and plan the work of the church so that everybody can be faithful workers in the congregation. An elder needs to be a good example of faithfulness. Number four, an elder should be a good example as a peacemaker. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." There is no doubt that God places a premium on peacemaking. Whenever disturbance or misunderstandings arise among God's people in any locality, and sooner or later there are going to be some misunderstandings, there are going to be some disputes and disturbances among pretty much any group of people in some way, small or large, whenever that happens, the elders should be the very first ones to try to make peace. It is a sad commentary on God's people when we fail to take to heart the instruction of Scripture regarding settling our differences among ourselves, and someone has to come in and mediate between us and bring the parties together. But you know, sometimes it takes a peacemaker to get everybody on the same page. Elders need to be good at that. Not only should they lead in making peace, but they should also conduct themselves at all times so as to ensure peace among themselves. Let's talk about initiative. Because sometimes it's a very difficult thing to take the initiative to try to bring folks together who are not at peace with one another. To be able to recognize a problem and to take the initiative to try to help solve that problem. Elders need to be willing to take the initiative. Word of caution, an elder should never be a pushover. Neither elders nor any member of the church ought to be at peace with sin or error. But even in the face of sin and error, the wisest means of winning is not always to blindly attack. Wise elders should prove themselves examples at making peace in any situation where peace is pleasing to God. Then number five, an elder should be a good example as an encourager. Elders should pave the way. They should show all of us how to be encouragers. I know I can truthfully say that in my time here at this congregation, which dates back to about 1993, I think, if memory serves me right, some of the greatest words of encouragement that I have ever received as a gospel preacher have come from the elders of this congregation, present elders and elders in the past. No one stands in a position to be better able to encourage than elders. Whether we're talking about encouraging preachers, encouraging Bible class teachers, or encouraging just, as we say sometimes, bad terminology, but average members in the pew. Elders should lead the way. There's an interesting passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul makes reference to a man who obviously was very close to him. He's got a little bit of a hard name to say, Onesiphorus. Of Onesiphorus, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he oft refreshed me. I like the J.B. Phillips translation, no relation, which renders that statement in that verse like this. For many times did that man put fresh heart in me. Many times did that man put fresh heart in me. Has that ever been said about you? When the time comes when people stand around and talk about the good things of your life, will they say, he really was an encourager? She was one of the most encouraging people I've ever been around. You know, I don't know why it is or how it happened, but somehow, at least to some people, the shepherds of a church are kind of seen as little more than just a band of grim-faced old men who are just waiting for somebody to step out of line so they can kick them back in line and get things going back right. That's not how God's Word pictures shepherds. A shepherd must be a good example as an encourager. Positive, outgoing leaders who lead with an encouraging example. The good example, of course, of an elder always brings about the right result. That's what God's Word says back in that passage we looked at the very beginning, the same one we looked at this morning, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who have led you, who spoke the Word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. A shepherd's example. It's got to be right. It's got to be right. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.